call you searching for adventure.
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A Lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It is another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers. And welcome back, David Rosen.
Yay!
Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Yes, from the Piecing It Together podcast. Welcome back.
And thank you for enduring another Lifetime movie.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one, guys. This is going to be really fun to talk about, I think.
Yes, a glutton, psycho sister-in-law.
This movie had breakfast. I never saw so much breakfast in a movie
before. They wanted the actress to cook, and she's like, I only know eggs. That's all I got.
A lot of breakfast and a lot of hair brushing.
Yeah.
A lot of snooping, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is a snooping breakfast hair brushing movie.
But bad snooping.
Oh, yeah.
Bad snooping, which we will get into.
You're so judgy of all the snooping. Has anyone ever snooped well in a movie for you, Les?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. But not on Lifetime or Hallmark movies. But yes. Oh, yeah. There are some expert snoopers. You know, I've learned some things from movies.
Oh, geez, that's very dangerous. They should hire you as a consultant on the set, like a snooping, you know, what do they call it? Like a snooping consultant.
They really should.
Yeah, David Les prides himself on being a great lady detective.
I am a great lady detective. I could have been one of the Charlie's Angels easily.
This consultants are a pain in the ass. When I've worked on a set, when there's like a military consultant or like a firearms consultant.
Right.
Put that out there.
Hey, David, before we continue, why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. Well, Piecing It Together is a podcast about movies. And what we do is me and a guest each week, we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies might have inspired it. And so instead of just reviewing the new release, we end up with a big list of other great movies to go check out, or not so great movies sometimes. But, you know, it's a little bit of a different twist on the movie podcast format.
What's the most recent movie you watched?
I just listened to the one you did on Palm Springs,
right on.
Which we talked about that on this show because we're big June Squibb fans.
Yes. Mm.
June Squibb, ride or die.
But yeah, it was very good. I've listened to it a few times. And then I started listening to the one on Antkind because I'm also a big Charlie Kaufman fan, although I've not read that yet.
Oh,
but your friend,
madness.
But your friend on the podcast compared it to Infinite Jest. Oh dear Lord! Mm. If it's like that, I don't know if I can get through it.
Oh, I couldn't. It's long. Yeah. 700 pages of just. Oh boy.
Oh jeez.
I think for Infinite Jest, I made it to page 300, and I said, "All right, I'm out."
That's enough.
I couldn't, and I don't give up on. I don't stop reading books usually.
I mean, Kurt, it's kind of in the title, Infinite.
Right.
It sure was. It's still going. It's never ended. I never stopped reading it. But no, I actually have the Charlie Kaufman Facebook page because I wanted to join. I said, you know, I would join a Charlie Kaufman Facebook page, and it didn't exist. So I started one, and I barely do anything on it, and it has like thousands and thousands of people. I have people write to me.
Send
they
me an invite. I want to.
Oh yeah, sure. A lot of people think I'm Charlie Kaufman because I write on there and say I am not Charlie Kaufman, and they write and they say, well, of course that's what Charlie Kaufman would say, and they write me. They've got scripts for me, and I write to them. I said I'm not Charlie Kaufman. I'm sorry, I'm not.
This is similar to how
that's
I
a very
launched
Charlie Kaufman thing that happened right there.
I launched a Twitter for MC Scat Cat. Have I told you guys about this?
Yes, you have.
Yes,
it's worth repeating. Though.
Do you know who MC Scat Cat is, David?
Oh yeah, of course.
From the Paul Abdul hit "Opposites Attract." I
grew up in the 80s. Yeah, I know.
I may have inhaled some leaves here in Southern California, if you know what I'm saying, and was at a Paul Abdul concert, and she was on stage, and she was dancing with like an animated MC Scat Cat behind her, and I said, "Oh, I wonder if MC Scat Cat has a Twitter." He did not. By the end of that song, he did.
He does now.
He does. And are you active with this?
No, I post like once every couple of months.
Right.
I present it like MC Scat Cat like is bitter because he was left in the dust by Paula and he hasn't had success since. And now he works at a Cheesecake Factory in Missouri.
Oh, well, he could fill in on America's Got Talent.
For Simon Cowell.
David, on your, I think it's your Patreon page, or so you've got a bonus episode where you do Space Jam.
Oh,
is that right?
That's another movie podcast that I produced called Awesome Movie Year that I'm a part of as well, but it's mainly these other two guys. And for some bonus content, so many people requested that we did that for our 1996 season, but we weren't planning on it, but we figured might as well. And man, does that movie not hold up in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think it held up even during the time that it was made.
I went to see it. I know this is kind of weird, but I disliked the movie so bad. I wrote a letter to the theater telling them how bad the movie was.
Wow. Kurt.
Sometimes you do that. Sure.
Because it was also on an IMAX screen, and it wasn't even like an IMAX movie, so that was part of my anger that I wrote to the theater. I was hoping they could be a free ticket, but
wow,
they did not.
Yeah, I guess with Space Jam, you can't even listen to the theme song. Like, you can't listen, like, nothing holds up. Like,
oh, because it's R. Kelly. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's best to look away.
Yeah.
So do we have any Angela White, otherwise known as Black China News?
China. 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 I have to have my China.
China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Well, just call me Mary Hart, because this is from Entertainment Tonight, from this afternoon. The headline is, Rob Kardashian's ex, Black China, reacts to him returning to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Rob Kardashian has the support of Black China! Exclamation point. The 32-year-old model, who is Rob's ex-fiance and the mother of his 3-year-old daughter, Dream, told photographers while out in Los Angeles that she thinks it's dope that he's back on his family's reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I think it's a positive thing, she said, of Rob's return to reality TV in footage obtained by Too Fab. Yeah, it's dope. While China has no problem with her ex starring on Keeping Up with the Kardashians again, she won't be one of the family's many viewers. When asked if she'll watch the reality series now that Rob is back, China replied with a laugh, probably not. The former couple dated from 2016 to 2017 and had a reality show of her own, Rob and China, that aired for one season when they were engaged and China was pregnant with Dream. Several years later, a source tells ET, Entertainment Tonight, not the extraterrestrial, that Rob is better than he has been in a long time now that he's making health and family a priority. Rob is in the best place. He hasn't been doing this well in years, the source shared last month. He's been taking his workouts and eating well, serious, and has seen significant results. Rob is much happier and has been around his family more after years of being a homebody.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay. Well, first question, what was she wearing? Because we didn't get a rundown.
Yeah, normally about three paragraphs down, they'll talk about how she's stunned in some sort of crop top or something.
Oh, this was the breaking Black China news. When I looked up Black China just like an hour ago, this came up in like three different sources. So I had to report this news. It was my, as a journalist, this was my duty.
And I gotta say, China, Black China, I think she's turned a corner. Because normally she's bitching about how her reality show with Rob got canceled.
Right, but think about this. she and Rob, even though they're not together, they still have their daughter Dream together. So if he's back on reality TV, that ups her chances of being back on reality TV, even if just passing through.
Right. And I guess that like makes that up to her alimony payment, does it?
If he's making more money. Yeah. How?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's helpful.
And David's going, okay.
I'm wondering what the most important part of the story is, because like, it seemed like Rob was a big part of this one this time. And I don't know.
I know this sounds weird. Yeah, I mean, for you, David, this sounds weird, but somehow we got hooked on to Blac Chyna. And so now we just give reports. And I don't remember what this originated from. Like I talk about June Squibb. I don't know how we got fascinated with her. But yeah, now whenever she comes up, oh, she was in the movie we watched.
Yeah, June Squibb was in that really awful movie with Megan Hilty.
Yeah, like one of the worst movies we've ever watched.
Oh, so
and
bad.
we latched onto her.
Yeah.
You know, these other guys who are on this podcast with me, I have this problem. Someone has criticized me for this. You latch on to things, and that's it. You keep bringing it up, and these guys do the same thing. So I guess we all get together, and it's a big problem.
Right.
David, we went on like a 20-minute screed about the TV show Mr. Belvedere on our last pod.
Well.
Hey, that's content right there.
And, I mean, it was a legitimate question. Actually, you did.
That's the best praise.
Well, but David, this is why we got on the topic, though. Did you bring it up? Someone brought up the fact that on Mr. Belvedere, the family there was a whole storyline about them having problems making enough money for their kid to go to college while they had a butler.
A real, like a British butler that literally worked for the Queen of England.
Yeah. Big problems these people have, for sure.
Well,
yeah, no, they couldn't, yeah.
In suburban Pittsburgh.
Right.
I forgot it was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Speaking of problems.
A wrong turn.
speaking of problems, I guess we should get into this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Psycho Sister-in-Law.
By the way, the actress who played Zara in this was also, I looked up her IMDb, she was in a short film called Ass Level. So I just need to get that out of the way.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Okay, we could begin, I guess.
So her resume was Ass Level and Psycho Sister-in-Law.
Yeah, and there's other stuff on there. That's what really struck a chord with me.
Okay, so here we go. Psycho Sister-in-Law. So we start off in a very nice house. Which, have we seen this house before?
No, this is bigger than any of the Lifetime houses we've seen.
Okay, and David, just to get you up to speed, we just bring that up because it seems like Lifetime basically uses like the same three houses for every movie.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure, yeah. And I, you know, not to get into anything like of a tangent, but I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more of that with, you know, everything going on right now with COVID and everything. I think we're going to have like designated houses for filming, you know.
It makes sense that Lifetime, they don't do a lot of series, so it makes sense that they would just use the same sets for their TV movies, which are essentially a series, and that they're the same plot every week. Someone gets murdered, someone frames somebody else for the murder.
Right. Okay, so we soon realize very quickly that this is a party. And so we see a very pregnant woman and her husband get out of the car, and I immediately realize it's Julie from Desperate Housewives. And so Julie, what was her name? Haley? Or I just wrote Julie in my notes.
Oh my God. Haley. Oh, wait. Oh, so Bree's daughter? Is that who that is?
No, Terry Hatcher's daughter.
Oh, okay. I knew she looked familiar. I didn't know where I knew her from. Okay.
Yeah. Because she was a kid in Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
Okay. That was like a big resurgence for ABC. They had Desperate Housewives and Lost. But I was a Lost guy.
And Grey's Anatomy. They all premiered the same season. There's actually a book about how those three shows turn ABC around.
Yeah. And I still watch Grey's. So So one of the things I noticed about this party is that this was a very lame party.
Yeah.
It was very lame. Because
well,
they had
the cupcakes.
At the party?
Wait, was this the same party?
No, well, this
I don't
the
think
party.
There were cupcakes at this one. There were in the party later in the movie.
So then we find out that it's actually a baby shower. And so Nick and Haley were walking towards the party, and then they are approached by a woman who it's obvious that she's either a trophy wife or a trophy girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that this is their dad's girlfriend, but I don't know if you guys noticed this, but until like the last half of the movie, I couldn't figure out what this woman's name was because everybody pronounced it differently.
I thought it was Kelly.
But it's Callie. But
Callie.
Everybody pronounced it differently, though.
Yeah. I actually thought it was Kelly, and then I thought they said Kaylee. So then I just looked it up in the IMDb.
I remember Kaylee.
But it's not Kaylee. It's Callie. It's C-A-L-L-I-E.
So this character throughout the movie is shown being kind of drunk a lot and is slurring her words. I wonder if the actress actually was just drunk and that was their way of making fun of her. Like someone call her Kelly. Someone would be Kelly. Kelly.
Can I say real quick before moving forward, part of the reason why this party seems so lame, which I mean, it's lame anyway, but the first thing that really struck me is there's no ambient crowd noise whatsoever. It's like they're in a vacuum. It's just the people who are talking is the only sound audible whatsoever.
Yeah. And
I thought you were going to say there was no ambient. No ambient.
But you know what? You're absolutely right. You were absolutely right. And P.S., it looked like the party was, like, on the driveway.
Yeah, yeah. I have to assume they ADR'd every line or something, most likely.
I did see cupcakes and cannolis. And we saw those later in the movie, too, because they must have hired the same bakery or caterer.
They probably shot those scenes on the same day.
Well, they did, I guess. They had cupcakes and they had cannolis, because I look at the sweets. So, to me, that's a rockin' party.
So we meet the dad, and the dad is basically like the poster child for toxic masculinity, but he actually seemed kind of nice, though. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the dad's going on about, you know, you're going to be having my heir, and I know it's going to be a boy because the firstborn sons in this family are, you know, the firstborn is always a son, da 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 da.
And may your first son be a masculine son.
Right.
Oh, well.
And then we cut to Las Vegas. And then we cut to a play, right? And all we
Boy,
hear,
they fooled me. I actually thought it was a real murder going on.
I just love the biggest suspension of disbelief I had to put forth for this movie was that there is a theater scene in Vegas.
Now, David, you live in Vegas. Is there?
There is. I got to say, there is. Shout out to the people who put on some pretty cool shows, like these little hole-in-the-wall venues and stuff. They're trying. They're trying. But that place certainly is not in Vegas. Nothing that looks anything remotely like that.
Well, this woman thinks she's going to be on billboards with this show.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
Are there black box murder mysteries? Are they huge in Vegas now?
I don't think so. I do not think so at all.
And don't get me wrong. I've done a lot of shows and a lot of black box theaters.
Yeah, so we've been in shows like that.
So I am the last one to throw stones from my glass house. Mm-hmm. But
well, it looks like a show from Indie Fringe, and Les and I have been in Indie Fringe five or six or seven times.
We should describe this show. It was Like, you cut to this scene, and you're in Vegas, and you're like, because they show, like, the strip, and then it's this scene where someone's on stage, and it's like she's standing over somebody that she just murdered, and then and you see what looks like flames, but then you pull back, and you realize it's one of those, like, lame lights that has, like, a little fan built in it and some fabric, so the fabric's blowing around like it's flames.
And then she had a doll baby. Like, she had a doll baby. And then she lets out, like, this, like, this shriek. So then afterwards, you know, we meet, I guess she's, like, the diva, because she leaves the stage. One of the other cast members, like, invites her out for drinks, and she kind of turns her nose up at this cast member. And then we see her, and she's sitting in the mirror, and she's just combing her hair. And so this other woman walks up, who actually looks kind of like her, and they start arguing. And basically, the other woman starts it, because basically she goes right in and basically says, "I slept with your man." And then the one combing her hair was like, "You're just jealous of me because I'm a star." And this is where, this is where she says she's going to be on billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They kind of have the strangest names in this movie, too. The guy that she said, the woman's boyfriend's name was Shep.
I know someone named Shep.
You do? I don't know anyone named Shep or Zara or Reed.
I know.
This is just a collection of names I've never heard.
I know Reed, but it's a woman.
They're very 90s millennial kind of names.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, you know, "You're just jealous of me. You're just mad," and they argue, blah, blah, blah. And so then we cut to what it looks like is hours later, and she's still combing her hair.
Don't want to get any knots in that thing.
So then she starts walking around, and so we know with these Lifetime psycho movies, the killer movies, and the wrong movies, they do not try to pretend to be anything else than what they are. So we know that murder is happening any second. So she's walking through the dark theater. She sees a mirror on the ground. And then all of a sudden, that fire effect that Kurt was talking about comes back on the wall.
But then
I was like, okay, so is this a Vegas thing? Because, you know, like, just the special effects. And so then all of a sudden, we hear this very dramatic scream. And then we see, it looks like a shard of glass or a shard of something. And she gets stabbed. And then we see her, and she's dead.
Yeah.
With her eyes open, like, dramatically dead.
And that was the cold open was two full scenes.
Yeah.
Actually, more than two scenes. Yeah.
Two cold opens. Yeah.
Yes. So then, you know, so then we get, like, the opening, right? And so then we're still in Vegas, we're back in L.A., and then Nick and Haley, they're in bed. They get a call from Callie, the girlfriend, and it turns out that Nick's dad is dead, and he died in an accident.
I see dead people.
Right, exactly. So then we're back in Vegas. Zara gets a phone call, and you know, the call is like, you know, I'm your dad's lawyer. Your dad died. And so we find out that she was the product of an affair. And so she grew up knowing that she had a father, but she barely knew him.
Yeah.
So then we're at the funeral, and Zara shows up at the funeral. And at this point, I wrote in my notes, Zara looks like Wednesday Addams, like an adult Wednesday Addams.
Oh, she was very goth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't she called a postmortem glam at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like at the funeral, because I don't think it was clear that she and Nick didn't have the same mother at this yet. Was it that made clear at the beginning of the movie?
she said something like, she said something like my dad had an, like she mentioned it, like my dad had an affair or something.
Well, either way, she walks into the funeral and Nick is like, Zara, hey, it's me, Nick. Like she would know her brother. Like, oh, she would need her brother to introduce himself to her.
Right. So, what was, you know what? She did mention something like that. Cause when she was talking to the lawyer on the phone or she was talking to someone, she's like, I haven't seen my dad in years and he probably wouldn't even recognize me.
And also her mom died several years ago too.
I see dead people.
Right. Right.
Well, she said, the reason why she shows up late at the funeral, which I knew was going to happen, because whenever someone shows up at a funeral, one of these things, they're always standing far away and they're late. But she said she didn't want to disturb Nick's mother. But I think Nick's, oh, he said they divorced. So right. Her mother wasn't there. Okay.
And then we know this is not a Hallmark movie because they actually said the word divorce. So then they invite, they're having like a wake afterwards. Haley invites Zara to come back with them to the house.
They had a wake afterwards?
Or whatever you call it. Like, what do you call it after a funeral? Like a party, you know?
Oh, it's a little party. It's a party. No, it's, okay. I don't know. It's a wake is before a funeral.
Oh, so like a reception.
A wake, the body is actually lying out usually. But, yeah, like a reception, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they're at the reception and, we then meet Haley's very bitchy friend.
You thought they were bitchy?
I did not think they were nice.
I kind of thought everybody in this movie was bitchy.
Because especially,
I think that's
like,
what it is, they blended in.
Because, you know, and especially, like, they're at the funeral, and Haley's introducing Zara around, and to her, and one of her friends is like, so what do you do? And it's like, we're at a funeral party.
Well, it's L.A.
See, I didn't take that as bitchy. I took that as them trying to be, like, nice and, like, hey, be our friend for the day.
Okay. And so, yeah, Zara's like...
Oh, maybe this is where the cannolis and cupcakes work. This is where I wrote cannolis and cupcakes. Okay. I apologize to our home audience.
So, and then I thought too, because when she was like, when Zara was like, I'm an actress, and what if them kind of made a face, like, oh, another one, or something.
You know, the way she was talking, she was like, yeah, there's a whole theater scene in Vegas, and I was just sitting there thinking, maybe I should go to Vegas. That sounds like some opportunities are brewing.
Right. Well, because I was thinking too, like I have a lot of dancer friends who have moved to Vegas and given it a try. You know,
I feel like
the
dancing, there's a legit path to success there in that field.
Yeah.
Well, right. If you want to do black box murder mysteries, Vegas is the place to go.
True.
Definitely every mall.
Are they in malls? I think I did do a show in a mall once. Oh no.
There's all one in a mall here.
so then we're at the reception and all of a sudden we look up at the balcony and Callie, the trophy girlfriend, is wasted.
Yes.
She is just messed up. And so So she walks around. She's just drunk. She tells Nick and Haley that, you know what? She's going to give up her bedroom for them, and she'll stay in the guest room. And she's just like, basically, she's like blackout drunk, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so then Nick introduces Zara to Callie and the lawyer, and Zara immediately starts throwing shit. Immediately.
Lawyer, by the way, was really hot.
Yes. He was, actually.
Yeah.
And so she throws shade at Callie's outfit. Callie's like, well, I wore this to a black tie affair. Which even I was like, oh, wait, you wore that to a black tie event? But then they're talking about, you know, well, where are you staying, Zara? And Haley says, well, I'm going to stay at a hotel. And she's like, why don't you stay with us? And Nick gave her the look that I give my husband when he, like, voluntarily invites somebody to something when I'm like, shut up, shut up, no, shut up.
What was even more stunning about this is Haley wasn't just inviting Zara over to her own home. At this point in the movie, this isn't even her home yet.
Right.
This is Kaylee Callie's home.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she asked. She asked Nick was all right or something. He just grunted. He was like,
well, you can't say no after you invite the person. Like, it's a little late. Like, what?
No, that's when you put it on Callie. I don't think Callie would want someone staying here, and she's passed out in the other room.
Right, that's true. Cause it's like, look at her, look at the shape she's in. I don't think this is, but no, they invited her staying. So the next day, Zara is making breakfast, and it is like this huge. The breakfast did look good. But it's like this huge breakfast, right? And so she's talking to Haley, and she tells her that she learned how to cook at a diner outside of Vegas. And she said her boyfriend taught her to cook, but she had to get away from her boyfriend because he was possessive. And so she tells her little sob story, and then Callie walks into the kitchen, and Callie is like hungover shit.
It was awesome. Callie was such a mess. I loved this character so much. I lit up every time she was on screen.
Because she's just a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she won me over. I was saying I thought her acting was, at first, I thought she had gotten acting lessons from the park ranger who we've seen in another movie. I think
that's
we
not possible. This trail's been closed for 8 years. It's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, that's a monologue from the park ranger.
Killer Vacation.
She still uses that in her auditions. So. It's going well.
So, So then they're talking, Haley and Zara, you know, what are you going to do while you're here? Do you have a job, like that type stuff? Like, basically, Zara was, like, fishing. And so then,
this is where Zara starts throwing shade, saying that maybe Kelly didn't really love the dad. It was just his portfolio she was after.
Right. And they actually stuck up for her because they were like, no, she actually loved him. And, you know, and then this is the part. Oh, you know what, Kurt? I think this is the part you're talking about. Because in my notes, I have wine and a plate of cupcakes.
Yeah, I have cupcakes too. But they were they're cupcakes previously. They may have been leftovers.
Yeah, I think these were leftover from the party.
Right.
Yeah, because I wrote here that you would have been horrified because she walked out, she had a bottle of wine, she took a bite from the cupcake and then put it back.
She kind of threw it down, right?
Yeah, she threw it down.
I don't know if I noticed that.
And David, Kurt gets very upset when dessert is like abused in these movies.
Well, yeah, I've talked about this before, the movie Black Swan. Have you seen that, David? Black Swan? Yeah, there's a scene where the Barbara Hershey almost throws out a birthday cake. It really bothers me.
Put it this way, David. A couple of movies ago, there was a scene where one of the characters, it was like one of these murder type movies, right? Where everybody's getting killed. Kurt was more horrified that one of the characters, like, threw a wedding cake to the ground and like ruined a wedding cake than somebody getting killed in the scene before. Kurt was very upset. Callie catches Zara in a room on a laptop, and Callie's like, you're not allowed to use this computer. This is, what was the dad's name? Whatever
Gavin.
His name.
Gavin.
This is Gavin's personal computer. And,
they said something in that moment too. She says something like, you know, I don't even have the password. And they never really address how, Zara had gotten into the computer.
Right. Because I mean, and Zara did not strike me as a computer whiz.
No.
It is strange using someone else's computer without asking.
A little bit, but if you're in a house like that and you legitimately are checking your email, I don't think it's that weird. It's nosy for sure.
Right. So then they kind of get into it a little bit because Callie's going to be the godmother of the baby. And Zara's like, well, I don't know why they would pick you to be the godmother. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, yelled at her. And then Callie kind of tries to fight back, but she's drunk. So then Zara runs into her room and starts like brushing her hair with this comb. But the comb looked like a knife. Like it's like a knife comb. So then we see Haley. She has a drawing of the baby's room. We find out that she's to do production design, and Zara's like, "Oh, you're in the arts like me." And then they're talking, and then Zara tells Haley that she was pregnant, but it didn't work out, and. So then,
and she also says she wishes she could find someone to have a baby for her, and she's like eyeing Haley up and down as she says it.
Right. And so in my mind, I automatically had a feeling where this movie was going to go, but it didn't go where I thought that it was going to go.
No.
Yeah. I didn't even understand that. She's like, I want someone to have a baby for me.
Mm-hmm. In other words, she won't have to go through the emotional trauma of losing another baby. She'll just, like, somebody have a baby. Now it's mine.
Right. You know, I mean, I do watch a lot of soaps. And one of the big soap opera tropes is someone is always, like, stealing a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, I thought that's what was going to happen. But so then we see Callie. She's all dressed up. And she is on her way out to lunch with the ladies wearing this cute little pink outfit.
She's got a happy outfit.
Yes. But then later in the day, she comes home and she's once again wasted. She's basically wasted the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then this next part is the will reading. Mm-hmm. All right. So then Zara gets $100,000, which I don't think is too bad.
No, it's pretty good.
Callie gets $600,000, which
I think that's good.
Yeah. She wasn't even married to Gavin yet.
No. And then Nick got everything else.
They keep referring to Callie getting $600,000 as she's only getting this small amount of money. Like they make it seem like he just handed her a Lincoln and he's like, see ya.
Well, how hard would it have been to write this with one less zero for all those numbers? You know, or, it would have made the movie so much more grounded.
Or
you know?
Justify it by, like, at some point just telling us how much Gavin was really worth, then maybe that might seem like a small number. Like, oh, he's worth $500 billion. Then it's like, okay, that's chum change.
Because she was crying like she was going to be homeless. Mm-hmm. Like she even said. She even
thought she
was going to
be homeless. Yes. Well, how much do you think that house was worth? I have a guess.
I bet. So they mentioned it was in Westlake, which is an expensive area. It looked like it was on a mountain overlooking Westlake. I would say that's probably a $15 million mansion.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
I was thinking it was like $3 million. You think that's $15
million? Oh, easily.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's substantial.
Oh, because here in L.A. these days, $1 million home can look kind of shitty.
It can look like a condo in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on a huge piece of property. Not really. Their house is...
No, it was pretty big.
I had to pause it at one point, and you could see the houses around it that are pretty... You could also see a bunch of cars, like a fleet of cars behind it, which I assume were the crew, but you can only see that if you still pause it. But I could see there was like four houses like right around it. And then otherwise, it was around like rocky terrain where you can't build anything on. So it wasn't a ton of land.
Did you read the thank yous in this movie, Kurt?
Yes, I did. I didn't see any. I couldn't make any connections, though.
We make fun of Kurt, David, because a few weeks ago he told us that he was reading the thank yous in the credits and decided to start Facebook stalking the people in the thank yous just to see like how they were related to each other.
Yeah, no, they were, because there were two groups of people who had the same last names, and I was able to. I found out that even they were all related in some way.
That's some solid research.
Yeah, right there. I want to know who owns this house.
Yeah, that's what I figured. They own the houses. And what I should do is, it could be like my own Lifetime movie. I stop by the house after doing, hi, I'm your long lost cousin.
Well, hey, it's been known to happen. So yeah, Callie's like really upset. And she's talking about how she's going to have to go bankrupt and all this stuff. And it's like $600,000. It's like you're not going to have to go bankrupt.
Maybe she's got student loans.
So then,
I don't know.
So then she's crying. And then Zara goes up to her. And Zara's like, well, maybe you can sell your clothes. And like being shady to her.
Hey, this is Jason just cutting into the podcast because on the day we recorded this, we actually had multiple equipment malfunctions. And despite the fact that I was recording it in three different places all at once, they all ended up failing for a little chunk of the show. So we lost a few minutes of our recap. So just to bring up the speed so the rest of the podcast will make sense, you need to know that Callie has now been hanging out a bunch with Turner, the hot lawyer. And Zara accuses Callie of sleeping with Turner, teaming up with him to basically gold dig. But it turns out Turner's gay, even though he's a longtime friend of Nick. Nick somehow didn't know that. Then Zara's old boyfriend, Reed, shows up at the house, shirtless, thankfully. And that is where we pick back up with the podcast.
It's her boyfriend. She turns around, and it's Lucas from General Hospital.
It's Dr. Lucas Jones. I was going to surprise you with that.
Yes, Dr. Lucas Jones, who I have actually met in person because I went to a party I would say 5 years ago, and he was our cater waiter. So he's doing very good for himself. Yes. He was our cater waiter, because the reason I knew that he was the cater waiter was because the friend who I went to the party with had directed a movie, and so he was in my friend's movie, and so my friend was like, oh, I'm feeling kind of awkward, because he was the cater waiter.
He was the cater waiter. It says, when I looked on the IMDb, it said he's been on General Hospital for years.
This was years ago.
Oh, okay. It was a long time ago. Okay.
Yeah, this was years ago. And then right after he was the cater waiter, he booked General Hospital. So it's like, oh, good. He's working. He's not on General Hospital anymore. Or he's kind of, like, he's a reoccurring character. So I wrote, what was his name? Because I wrote Lucas.
Reed.
Because I wrote Lucas. Because he was in General Hospital. So I wrote Lucas and Zara have drinks in the kitchen. And so I love it because she's like, I hate you. And then they have sex in the kitchen. On the counter. So then the next day... They're at guest breakfast. Mm-hmm. And so and she has like a big smile on her face, like, ooh, I had sex last night. She's very happy. And then all of a sudden, Reed comes down to breakfast with no shirt. And Nick is not happy.
Yeah.
And so
this
Nick
is very ballsy.
They were so matter of fact about it.
Now
he walks in. He grabs a roll. I would never do that. I would feel so awkward. and then grabs a roll.
What about a cannoli, Kurt, or a cupcake?
I would feel awkward being in someone's house like that. You know what? I think I have been in some weird situations like that. Yeah, I wouldn't just walk in. I would be like sneaking out a window.
But then
I revealed too much.
The thing that surprised me, though, I was like, he has a body like that, and he's eating rolls?
See, we all have our own perspective on this.
Because he had a great body. He had a very good body. His hair was weird, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, yeah.
They love their orange juice in this movie, too. They're having that orange juice every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta watch out. A lot of sugar in that.
So then I wrote here, I guess Zara was brushing her hair, because I wrote, there's a lot of hair brushing in this movie as well. And then we find out that that Reed owes money to a loan shark. And then we find out that he got her pregnant. And so... Then we later see Haley. She's looking at baby stuff. Then Nick comes out, and then they look outside, and Nick gets upset because not only is Reed smoking, which is the first thing he's pissed about, he has a gun in his back pocket. And so Nick like flips out. Zara's like crying and apologizing. And this is the part that I thought was weird and kind of dumb. She's crying. Mm-hmm. She's apologizing. But then, you know, they make up and stuff. She's getting ready to go out. And she asks Haley, hey, can I borrow some of Callie's perfume? And then Haley's like, sure.
Maybe it's because, you know, Haley had already said, hey, come stay in Callie's house. She just figures that Haley controls everything Callie does because Callie's a messy kid doing her own.
But then, especially since, okay, it's apparent that Vera hates Callie because Vera talks shit to Callie, like, in front of them. So you're going to want to borrow her perfume. And then, Haley, you're going to let her borrow the perfume when you know that she hates, like, you're going to let her in her room. Anywho.
Well, the one thing we were spared of this movie was that there was no hidden cameras. And I think the only reason they didn't have, usually it's like the intruder has a hidden camera.
That's like the size of a giant head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hidden cameras are always like about three hand widths wide.
But this is unusual because she was the sister. And so I think that's what made it weird. Like, she wasn't going to watch. It's usually that you know, she's got the camera. She watches them getting frisky and stuff. But now that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would cross the line even for Lifetime.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the gay lawyer's office. He's in the office alone late at night. He hears a noise. And then all of a sudden, he gets strangled with a fabulous belt.
By someone in a hoodie. They love their hoodies in these Lifetime movies.
The hoodie trope, yeah. You got to have the black hoodie. So then after she kills him, she gets on the computer. So then we see Haley. Haley did a lot of yoga in this movie, like a lot of yoga. Mm-hmm. And so
she's eating all that breakfast.
True. So then Vera comes out, and Vera's like, I'm getting my headsets done today.
She offers her a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Mm. Like Elvis.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought too.
So this is like bad snooping.
Yeah.
Because then Haley walks in and catches Zara going through her phone. And this is like, okay, first of all.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
First of all, why isn't your phone locked if there's a stranger in your house? Second of all, isn't that grounds for like, get out now? give me my phone. But then Zara actually makes up an excuse. Oh, because then she's calling her friend Rosalind, and then she's like, why are you calling my friend Rosalind? And so then Zara comes up with like a story about how, oh, I was planning your baby shower.
That was a good lie, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, is it? Now you have to do that baby shower.
Yeah.
Now you got to follow through on that. That's going to be a lot of work. I'd rather just take the blame. I'd be like, well, I was planning your baby shower. You know, I don't want to do a baby shower. Yeah, I was just snooping. Sorry.
Right.
But, Kurt, I think you would follow through the baby shower because that means more cupcakes.
Because
if I could pay for it, then maybe not. But if I get a budget, if a budget's provided, then I'm already on that baby shower.
Because I, on the other hand, would have called Rosalind and said, hey, don't say anything, but did Vera call you? Was she planning a shower with you? And then I would bust her, because then Rosalind would say no. So,
Rosalind Carter. That's the only Rosalind I know. She's going to be Carter's wife, Rosalind Carter.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's totally who we're talking about.
Right.
What about Roz, the bailiff on Night Court?
Oh, was her full name Rosalind?
I would assume with a name like Roz, your name is Rosalind. Yeah.
I just heard an interview with her.
Oh, she's around still, Marcia Ward?
Yeah, she was just interviewed by Mark Maron on WTF a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Oh.
I think she lives in Vegas, actually.
Is she doing theater there?
She's doing Murder Mystery Black Box Theater. No, right. She does stand up. She's out of the closet.
Oh, that's right. She is a stand up. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, and David, isn't Vegas kind of like Hollywood for comics?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of that stuff happening here, for sure. I mean, there used to be.
Like, well, yeah, this is true. This is true. So then, a sexy police officer shows up, or like a detective. And the sexy detective is like, the gay lawyer was murdered. And then we find out that the person who murdered him was changing the father's will. And then he brings out some evidence, and it's Callie's belt. Now, I don't know if you guys looked at this belt, but this belt didn't look like it could kill someone. Because it was like...
It could kill their eyesight with how ugly it was.
Yeah.
Well, Les liked it. He said it was fabulous. I have no opinion.
But it was a skinny girl belt. Like, you couldn't... Like, if it was like a big, thick belt, sure. But it was like a skinny girl belt. You know?
This crowd was really broken up. Really broken up too about the death of Turner. They were just sobbing. Did they really even know who he was?
I didn't seem like it. Right. I liked in the scene though. I liked in the scene when they say that Callie is the main suspect or whatever. I think it's Haley says that doesn't seem like Callie at all. And I just like murder. Yeah. I don't think I heard it at all.
Like, anyone ever has said to a cop, like, yeah, they seem a little murdery to me. Yeah, that tracks.
Oh, and then, this next part. So when the detective was like, where were you at 11:18 p.m.? And Zara's like, I was with my manager. Oh, really? At 11:18 p.m., you're with your manager. Where were you? On the casting couch?
She said they were getting drinks.
Yeah, nice shoot.
Oh, she said they were getting drinks?
Yeah.
But even
We never found out how she covered that up, I don't think.
I think we're assumed to believe that Reed would have covered for her.
Oh, Reed is her manager. Okay. He pretends to be.
Yeah, if need be, I would imagine.
Right. So then, so then they're planning the shower. So then a bunch of them are planning the shower, right? And then Callie comes over, and Callie's got like a new Callie comes over, right? And then Callie's like, "Do you think I killed him?" And then they're, but then, you know, and of course they're like, "No, Callie, no,
no." Yeah. Okay, I give up. Did you?
It doesn't seem like you.
But then Dara and Callie start fighting, right?
I love that Zara took every opportunity to stir shit up. She was great at that.
Oh yeah. And so then we find out Nick's been in an accident. He's in the hospital. And then Nick is starting to get a little suspicious. So he asks Zara to leave the room, and then he tells Haley that he thinks that Zara's boyfriend followed him to work. So then we see Haley. She's at home. She's reading that book that Kurt was talking about.
Wait, did you see that hospital room? That was a little suspicious. The door on it looked like a bedroom door. I mean, nothing that I've ever seen before. They also had the angle. They were smart about the angle because he probably wasn't on a real hospital bed, which would have cost some money.
Right.
But they did have a couple little things on the wall there. So
Haley's at home reading a book. She hears a noise. She goes walking around, and what does she see? A black hoodie. So we know that she's in trouble now. And then she proceeds to kick the criminal's ass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of criminal are you to let a pregnant woman, and not like a little, like a very pregnant woman, like kick your ass? So then the police come again, and then we find out that the guy in the hoodie was Reed, and then we find out that that Zara wants that baby, and that's like part of her plot, is she's going to take that baby.
Yeah.
And then she's talking about how, yeah, Callie's going to get put behind bars. And then they kind of are cryptic about, well, you know what happened to the other baby. But we never find out what happened to the other baby. But they're very cryptic about it.
Yeah. And we also find out that Reed was the one that was responsible for Nick's accident, even though that wasn't part of the plan. He's kind of going off script.
Oh, is that why he's wearing a vest? Like, he's wearing, like, an orange vest. Like,
yeah, because they make a callback to that later in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like in construction worker drag.
Zara has a village people fetish.
Right. So then Reed thinks he's about to get lucky. But the only thing that he's lucky with is death, because she strangles him.
You know, he's lucky with his death. I like what she says, because he wants the money, and then she said, I'll give you some money, or more money, if I can stay in the house longer, thus saving her on rent. I thought that was smart financial planning. Yeah. So I like that. I was like, that's good. Stays in the house, saves on rent, and so that money can go to him. But that's the way it's going to go.
So then the next scene, guess what Zara's doing? Making breakfast.
Yeah, again. I said, how many breakfasts? Yeah.
I don't know. Take a shot.
Here we go again.
Well, maybe part of it, too, is since they're probably on a budget, making breakfast food is cheaper, and you can get more of a bulk of it than getting other types of food.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So then...
Well, speaking of budget, listen to this.
Oh, this is actually in terms of scripting, this was a brilliant way to write around the fact that you don't have a budget for extras.
So yeah, because then Haley's like, you know, I'm just not in the mood for a baby shower. But you know what? And then Zara's like, well, why don't you just invite a couple of your friends over, and then we'll just keep it low key. And you're right, because because she had, what, two friends? So
yeah.
She's like, yeah, just invite your two friends over, and we'll just keep it small. And so then...
Also, let's not forget that this movie started with her baby shower. So they're throwing her a second baby shower.
I was confused about that myself.
Right.
I have heard of people having multiple baby showers, though.
But in the same multiple house? Showers.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah, with the same people, that wouldn't work. Like someone has like a work shower and they've got like a family shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be... This is odd.
So then Zara's like, listen, there's a surprise upstairs. So they go upstairs and there's like a full nursery, which Haley is kind of weirded out by.
You skipped it was like nighttime after they decided to do a low-key baby shower, and Haley's sitting there reading that same book again. And she jumps up out of bed all of a sudden, and she runs to Kelly's room, and she's, like, looking at the perfumes. And then she questions Zara about which one she used the other night. Haley's figuring something out here.
Right.
I didn't figure it out, but...
Her lady detective skills are kicking in.
Yeah.
What was that?
Mm-hmm. So Callie goes to visit Nick at the hospital. And Callie's like... what do you know about Psycho Zara? And then Callie says the words that perked my ears up. I did some digging. So then they're at the baby shower. Callie shows up with like a new pep in her step. She's got a new attitude because she's sober for once.
She's like Patti LaBelle with a new attitude.
Right? And she's like ready. She's like shit talking. Like,
two songs of Patti LaBelle on the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, yeah. Including New Attitude.
Shalimar.
Dancing in the Sheets, yeah. Oh, no, wait, that's...
That's Footloose.
Yeah, okay.
But this does have a Shalimar on it. Yeah.
And because Jody Watley was in Shalimar.
Yeah.
It's just a dead giveaway. So Callie did some digging, right? So then Nick goes to Zara's old address.
I love the suggestion. So, like, Callie tells Nick about, hey, I found this girl, Stevie, that might know Zara. We should go get up out of the hospital. And so he gets up. He's like, I'm going to go see Stevie. You go to the house and keep an eye on Haley.
Very brave man.
Like,
right?
Also, like, if you're worried about your wife, why don't you tell the police to go keep an eye on Haley?
Right. Especially since you can't beat anybody up because you're, like, in a sling.
Yeah.
So then he goes... And it's the typical Lifetime talking to the friend scene with the grimace on their face. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. So you know the woman's got like this grimace on her face, and he shows a picture, and she's like, "That's not Zara, that was Zara's friend." And then we find out that Zara actually had changed her name to a stage name, to Amelia,
which is the name of the girl that got killed at the beginning of the movie. This was a twist I did not see coming.
Right. And
the story she tells is so convoluted. And I think my eyes crossed while I was listening to her talk.
Because wasn't it, they were actors, and then
this is worse than Infinite Jest.
Because wasn't it, Zara changed her name to Amelia, the person who... It's pretending to be Zara, but actually Amelia's best friend. They moved to Vegas together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Ronnie was pretending to be Zara. They moved to Vegas. Exactly.
And they played twins. She said like they played twins or sisters.
Well, no.
She was her understudy. So
Amelia, real Zara, got cast in this play, and her supposed best friend, Ronnie, fake Zara, was upset that she didn't get the part, but she got cast as the understudy because they looked so much alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is show business.
So they're at the shower, they're opening gifts, And then Callie goes inside and says, and she finds the construction, she finds the construction outfit. She finds the best. She's doing some good snooping. She finds the comb. And then Haley shows up and Callie's like, listen, you need to get out of here. And this is where the shit hits the fan.
Well, Callie gave her an elephant lap.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to come up.
Important.
Yeah.
Right. So then Vera has a gun, right? And then Callie hits her in the head with the elephant.
With the lamp. She throws the lamp at her.
Yeah,
lamp.
But she said, I told you that elephant was going to be lucky.
So then they run inside, and I like that Callie all of a sudden is turning into like the hero of this whole movie.
Well, but we didn't mention the fact that when she got to the party, one of Haley's friends points out to her, like, Callie was at the drinks, and she's pouring a non-alcoholic one. She's like, oh, that one doesn't have alcohol. And Callie even points out that she's not drinking today. So, like, Callie was clear-headed in this moment.
Right. She's like, I'm on a mission. I'm going to kick some ass.
You're not drinking, but that's your brand.
Yeah.
But she's like, no.
Murdering is it. Nobody, I don't expect you to be a murderer. A big old drunk, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're inside, right? They're hiding from Vera. Callie realizes she forgot her keys. And so they're sneaking around, right? Like, so they go outside. They're sneaking around. They're trying to get away from Vera. They're outside, they're going, and then Callie turns the corner, and she gets stabbed in the neck.
With a comb.
With a comb.
With the comb with knife from comb. Earlier in the movie.
Yeah. Which kind of looked wooden.
Just combed.
And I was like, aw, damn, I wanted Callie to survive, because she was like, she was doing some good work.
She's doing some good snooping. I wanted her to have a spinoff.
Right, she's fighting, she's kicking ass.
Yeah, but there could be a prequel.
True.
Yeah.
So then Haley runs, right? And Haley like locks herself in like a little stable sort of a thing.
Yeah, a cage. What kind of animals do they have in there?
Right.
Dogs or
like it looked like horse, anyway. Like a little horse stable.
Yeah, I thought it was horses maybe.
Oh, okay.
So then Dara's chasing her, and Dara has a gun. And so then Nick pops up and Nick is like, what did you do with my sister? And then this monologue gets even more convoluted.
It was so amazing.
She like gave like the full, I looked like her. And then that is like, it went on.
It was like the James
she says the
Bond
word dynasty
villain.
At least like four times.
Who wouldn't
kill to be a part of this family dynasty?
Right. And then it went on and on and on and on and on. And basically, I kind of summed it up in, it was like the Scooby-Doo, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you damn kids.
Yeah. And not only that, but I was thinking, she played this all wrong. She should have quit while she was ahead, got that $100,000, and just kept pretending she was a sister. Nobody would have known.
Yeah.
But she had to take it too far.
I mean, they were going to give Callie, a person they weren't even related to, a $15 million house just because.
Right.
Yeah. She got greedy.
So then Haley is like trying to talk her down, right? And because she's like, I'm going to take your baby. And I'm going to kill you and take your baby. And then they're reasoning with her. And they're like, Haley's like, well, look, if you kill me, the baby's going to die because you killed me, which makes sense. And so then she's like, okay, listen, Sarah, let me carry the baby to term. And I'm going to make you the godmother anyway, because Callie's a piece of shit. So you're going to be the godmother. And then she's like, and you know what? You could even kill Nick if you want. I don't care.
Sure,
go ahead.
And they start walking him to the cliff.
Right.
Yeah, let's go over here.
Right. She's like, I'll help you.
The look in Nick's face of like, I think you're helping me here, but are you?
He's like, you ladies suck.
Right. So then they start walking towards the cliff. And then all of a sudden, I gotta tell you, this is the toughest pregnant woman I have ever seen. Because they're walking towards the cliff. And all of a sudden, she turns around and starts fighting her with the gun. Right?
She does some John Wick shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is the second person whose ass she kicked. Because then she grabs the gun and she makes Sarah shoot herself.
Yeah, the stomach. Yeah.
And then, so yeah, I was like, so then we then see the next scene. We see the car drive up. We see them open the door. They take a baby out of the back of the car.
Wait, before that, you get to the last scene, when Zara dies in that previous scene, is that a repeat of the fake death scene from the play?
I think it was. Yes.
Like, I think the angle and the dialogue and everything was the same thing that was in the stupid play at the beginning of the movie. Yeah.
Oh, the movie just got very meta.
Yeah.
Well, then remember Nick's line after that was, he said, you're just a better actor than she was.
Right.
Wow. I gotta revise my letterbox review after hearing this.
And so, yeah. And now, and then my note is, okay, so after all that bad shit that went on in this house, you're going to bring your new baby and live in this house with all this bad energy, with like murder.
Well, it depends if you're going to believe in that. It depends if you're going to go along with that bad energy stuff.
Well, even just from a PTSD perspective.
Burn some sage.
Maybe.
Fine.
That's a big house. You could live in the other half of the house. You could spend all your time in the other rooms where nothing bad happened. And you'd have plenty of space.
And that was it. So David.
Well, they said that the baby can't grow up to be an actor. Remember
right.
That?
True. She could be anything she wants as long as it's not an actor.
Not an actor. The end. So David.
Yeah.
In your podcast, you compare, like, you figure out with movies what it could have been based on, correct?
Yeah.
So what what movie could this movie have been based on?
Oh, my God.
Hannah Rocks the Cradle.
Yep.
Sure. I would definitely go there. Maybe a little Gone Girl in there a little bit. I don't know. I made the John Wick joke, but the way Haley just is like a straight up badass. I go with some like female John Wick energy in here.
What was that Charlize Theron movie from a year or two ago where she was like a
Atomic Blonde?
Yeah.
A little of that too.
Cause she did kick ass.
She sure did.
Now, I gotta tell you guys, on paper, I should have hated this movie. I fucking loved this movie.
I loved it too. This was legitimately my favorite movie that we've seen this year, with the exception of Killer Contractor.
Oh, by the way, I got a story for you. So, David, just to get you up to speed with this too. So, my husband and I are in the process of adopting. Mm-hmm. And so, we had our home.
Sorry, one second. That delivery I mentioned, I think, is there.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, forget.
Okay. I like this movie as well, I could say. I like the brazenness, especially the brazenness of Reed just walking into breakfast with his shirt off and just grabbing a roll. Like, wow.
Now, if I had a body like that, I'd walk around with my shirt off too.
I'm back.
Okay. Oh, anyway,
okay, cool.
So my husband and I are in the process of adopting right now. And so we're adopting through the foster care system. And so we have like a series of home inspections. And so we have the kids' room pretty much set up. And so we got a bed, right? And so we were setting up the bed. And in the movie Killer Contractor, there was a scene where the ceiling fan fell. There's a little girl in bed, and the ceiling fan fell out of the ceiling. It fell out of the ceiling.
For context, for those listening to this podcast, they can't see what Kurt and David and I see. Les's head is cut off in this messenger chat right now, and above him is a giant spinning ceiling fan.
And this is the ceiling fan that I'm talking about.
Okay.
This is the actual ceiling fan.
Okay.
So we're setting the bed up, and I had a flash of Killer Contractor, and I was like, oh, you can't put the bed under the ceiling fan. What if the ceiling fan falls out?
That's
like a Killer Contractor. So then we were having our inspection, and the inspector is like, good thing that you didn't put the bed under the ceiling fan, because that's the rule. Put a bed under the ceiling fan.
He's seen Killer Contractor. My bed's under a ceiling fan.
Well,
there must be real people that work on these movies who, you know a thing or two, you know, for realism.
Right. Because she said that's like a major rule, is that you can't put the kid's bed under the ceiling fan.
Wow.
So thank you, Killer Contractor. You got me the bonus point.
The things you learned from Lifetime.
Okay, so what did you learn from this movie, though?
Ooh, like good question. Sister-in-law.
Oh, okay. So, A, I learned that Vegas has a theater scene.
That's true.
What did I learn?
Well, then you just can't live off of $600,000.
No.
True.
Talk to your spouse before you meet long lost relatives to make sure they don't invite them to stay in your house.
Find out if it really is your long lost relative.
And
elephant lamps come in handy.
Yep.
And don't fuck with pregnant women.
There you go.
Because they'll kick your ass. Lessons learned. Okay.
Oh, by the way, they also listed the extras in the credits. So I want to mention that.
So how many extras were there?
Well, there was a long line, but I looked at all the credits, and I saw that they listed the extras. I did not look up these people. But they did list the extras in the credits.
Where were they? I'm guessing at the party scene at the beginning and at the theater scene at the beginning. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things. They just listed them all together. The funeral slash
like
party.
Maybe.
Yeah, there was like three. Yeah, like three.
Right.
And it was like maybe 10 or 12 people.
Right. Right. Oh, and then I also learned if your lawyer is attractive and brings a French man to a party, he's probably gay.
Yeah. Nick wasn't very astute.
No. Because and the guy, I mean, and not to stereotype or anything, but the guy, when the guy's like, I'm gay, I'm like, no shit.
By the way, speaking of Nick, did you guys ever watch that Secret Life of an American Teenager?
Is that where he's from?
He was on that, yeah. My fiance was like, where the hell is he from? And finally figured it out, yeah.
Because
that show was the best. It was so bad.
Because I was also trying to figure out where I had seen him before.
Yeah.
So that's it. So that's where. Because the thing is with Lifetime, they use a lot of the same actors,
right?
And we have not seen him before. So I was wondering, you know, especially, yeah, we hadn't seen him before. So I was wondering, where did he come from?
One trope that we didn't see in this movie that we do commonly see in Lifetime movies is there will be a secondary good-looking male character that may or may not be gay, that right before they kill them off, they have them shirtless for some reason. Like, we've seen that three or four times. Yeah, like, often, like, going to go take a shower.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was seriously, I was like, rubbing the hands together, like, here we go. Nope.
David, what were you going to say?
Nope.
Oh, no, I was just saying there's such a small cast in this movie, there's not really a lot of people to die because there's no one in it.
Well, and you know what? For a psycho movie, there weren't a lot of deaths.
Right.
There were four.
No, it was a different kind of thing. It was a little different because she was pretending to be a family member. As I said, that kind of threw a couple things off.
Right.
That changed it. Because usually it's like the woman's trying to get the man. You know, that's, we see a lot of that.
Well, also right. there was some, it was subtle, but there were question marks over maybe Zara isn't the bad guy. Maybe Callie actually is. Like they were, you know, they were kind of throwing that out there a little bit that could be a possibility.
Right. I would team Callie all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I never doubted Callie.
I loved her so much.
I was deep.
She apparently was in Wedding Crashers. I looked at her
as who?
IMDb. She had some role in it. I saw that movie back in the day. So,
wow.
That movie was like 2007,
right?
A long time ago.
Anywho,
or before then, maybe.
David, how can our listeners find you?
Sure. Well, you could check out Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts and at piecingpod.com. And you can find my music at bydavidrosen.com. I have a new album coming out in October, so I'm constantly adding new stuff to the site and really excited about sharing it with people.
Nice. Awesome. Nice. And hey, maybe you could even come on and promote.
Yeah, I'd love to. My fiance makes me watch these movies, so I've seen them and I'm available.
Did she watch with you? Did she enjoy this one?
Oh. She doesn't lock me in a room. She you know, actually watches them with me. Yeah, no, she loves these things. And I think that this one, I'm not sure how much she liked this one, but she definitely liked the drunk Callie, though. She thought that was fantastic.
and to date, the movie that we watched that you recommended last time has been one of the best movies we've watched.
Yeah, it was good.
That was a great one.
It's up there. If you want to find me, you can find me on my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. And you can always find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. And if you are a soap opera fan, I actually have another podcast. It is called Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon, where my co-host Jordan and I talk about your favorite daytime soap in the United States and the UK. Jason.
If you would be so kind as to rate us 5 stars and whichever app you are listening to this podcast on, we would love you for that. You can find us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
Kurt with a K, KurtFitzpatrick.com. I'm still doing sketch comedy for Fringe live stream, which you can watch every Thursday night on Facebook Live at 8:40 p.m. Eastern time. So from 8:40 to 9 is some of my sketches, then 9 is the show. And I did record the podcast, A Scotsman Talks to Kurt Fitzpatrick, which is on YouTube right now, and it'll be on an actual podcast soon. So you can look that up on YouTube.
Oh, nice. Was that from the Edinburgh Fringe?
He lives in Calgary. Gentleman who interviewed me, he's a Scotsman, and so you know, he's from Scotland originally, but now he lives in Calgary, so it's more like missing the Edmonton Fringe, which would be happening now. Yeah,
nice.
But we talked about all kinds of things.
Cool. Anyway, well, that's it, you guys. Another week, another movie. So I will talk to you next week. And once again, David, thank you for coming on. You're welcome anytime. And everyone else, I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.